God is good. Amen, church. God is good. We always need to remind ourselves, God is good. No matter what you're faced with, no matter what's going on in life, God is good and He wants to bless you. Look at somebody and say, God wants to bless you. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Well, I want to try something new tonight. It's not really new. I just said that to get your excitement up. Get your attention. So get your Bibles out. And I want you to turn to the very front, Genesis chapter 1. Now, I am winging it tonight. So this is all the notes I have. And I just know God's going to use this. Now, I want you just to listen to me for a second. You know, I've always been in construction. And well, not always. Before, when we were just a family and had a ranch and we were ranching, I didn't know anything about construction. But then we went broke. I went into becoming a carpenter. And I never forget the first day that I was on the job. You know, it was real hard for me to understand that I was the low man on the totem pole. I remember that a truck came in with a whole bunch of material on it. And I looked at the boss and I said, well, who's going to unload that? And he looked at me and he says, you are. And I'm like, no, I have people do things like that. And my life had changed. And now I was the low man on the totem pole. And then shortly thereafter, you know, I mean, when you're a cowboy and ranch and stuff, you're not too good with a hammer. You have a hammer, but, you know, you just build some fence with it. And if you can hit a staple, you're okay. And so we had to put up this plywood underneath of a carport. And if you've ever tried to attempt to do anything like this, you know, you've got this plywood that's kind of flimsy, and then you're trying to hold a nail. We didn't have nail guns in those days, and we didn't have screws. And so you had to nail it underneath. And so, you know, you're trying to stand on a ladder with your head on the plywood and hold it up there in place, flip the nail over, and then hit it with a hammer. And so I'm not very good with a hammer, and I got good real quick. Because that first day I beat my fingers off, you know, and I had to get good at it. And then now transitioning, all those years go by, and now when I'm on the job and I'm working, I'm got seniority. Of course, it's, you know, I'm the boss, so of course I'm going to make seniority. So I always get the easiest job. Makes sense, right? And so I'm the cut man. All I do is saw boards. All I do is saw boards all day long. People holler numbers at me, I measure them off, and I cut. I don't nail. All right? And so for me to do my job and to do it well, I just need really just three tools. I need my pencil that I have stuck in my cap. I need my tape measure on my side. And I need my speed square stuck in the back of my pocket. I don't wear a belt because I'm too fat, and I'm too old, and it's too heavy, and I don't want it hanging around me, and it rubs blisters on me. Okay? It's that simple. The other guys on the job have all their tool belts on. And we laugh at this one guy. We poke fun at him all the time because his bags weigh like 50 pounds. He's got like every tool in his truck in his bag. Now, granted, if we need something, he's got it right there. But I can take a moment and get a drink of water and go out to my truck and get what I need or go to the toolbox. But he's got it all hung on his side. Well, now he's getting older and he's always complaining his hips hurt, his back hurts. I said, we got 50 pounds strung around you right there. You know, clean some of that stuff out. Okay. I told you that to tell you this. This church, I've always known this, but I feel stronger about it than I've ever felt, is that we as a church, you need to be like I am when I'm the cut man. You don't need a whole bag full of tools. You don't need to know how to cast out different kinds of demons. You don't need to know how to explain the Holy Trinity. You don't need to know the exegesis of the Bible and can go through here and just and explain all kinds of great theological discussions. You don't need to know and be so completely enthroned when the rapture is going to happen. You don't need to be able to tell them who this guy has this theory and that church believes that. You need a few tools on. You need those tools to be really good, and you need to be really good at it. And I should have said there's one more thing that I got to have. Usually is my glasses in my pocket because they're not making tape measures big enough anymore. And so if we got a few tools, but we're really good with those few tools, you can get a lot accomplished. All right? And last week we talked about these seven steps to heaven and about how if you need to be equipped, you need to know, you need to have it down in your heart, you need to have it so ingrained within you that when you come across a person who is struggling in life and you can quickly ascertain whether that person is saved or not and then lead them to Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. Listen, Living Waters Church is not the answer. Pastor Robert's not the answer, okay? The Bible has the answer, but if the person doesn't know Jesus, they're not going to get anything out of the Bible. So it's no good to tell somebody. Somebody comes up and says, I don't know what to do in life. And you say, well, here, just read the Bible. Well, you did give them an answer, but for them to sort through it and find it, right? You need to introduce them to your buddy Jesus. You need to be able to turn around to people and say, man, you know, I can help you some, but this is the guy you need to know. He can do anything. Are you with me? You need to be able to introduce people. You need to be confident to introduce people to Jesus. You need to be able, and that's why I gave you these seven steps right here. And actually, some of y'all probably may not have one. Joe, come here and grab these and go run around. Anybody that doesn't have one? And thank you. You'll have to do something. Those of you just getting one of these that you don't have one, what you got to do is to follow this instruction, because this is what we had to do last week. Before you start reading or looking at it, just get your pen out, if you would. Those of you just getting one, just get your pen out. And then you notice that there is a number 8 down there on the bottom. You see the number 8? Not the whole thing, just the number 8. Joe, you missed one over here. Levanta sus manos. Okay, so do you have your pens? Those of you who just got one of these, you have your pens. You look down there, and there's a number 8, the numerical number 8. Just take that and scratch out that number 8. Just not the whole thing, just the number 8. Just scratch around it. Make a little circle there, okay? Now, it's complete, because if you look up the top, it says 7 steps to heaven, okay? Little typo there. So now the 8th one is a bullet point. It's just a bullet point down there. But I gave you those because I wanted you to have something in your hands. I wanted you to be equipped well enough that if a person comes to you and says, look, I don't know if I'm saved, or whatever they're going through in life. I mean, I've never had a person just walk up to me other than in church and say, I don't know if I'm saved. But in your daily walk in life, you're dealing with people, you're going through there, you deduct that person needs to have a relationship with Jesus and they don't. You've got 7 scriptures there that are from the Bible that you can say, look, this is what the Bible says about it. Blank, blank, you know, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, boom, and then pray with them. How do you pray a sinner's prayer? Jesus, come into my heart. I mean, that's really it. All right? It doesn't have to be. It can be as much as you want to say or as little as you want to say. If a person really wants Jesus to come in their heart, it's not the amount of words or the way that they versed it or what they said that's going to get the person to know Jesus or Jesus is going to come in their heart. It's their heart crying out to him, okay? You got to remember that. All right? Okay. So I gave you this tool. It's a tool. Everybody say it's a tool. That's all it is, a tool to help you to have some scriptures to be there. And when you get through with that, you can know that you did what the Bible said. Now, let me just stop for a second because I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, so, this is basic 101 kind of stuff here tonight. So, you know, my approach has always been with somebody is I've never argued with the person if they thought they were saved or not. All right? If I just said to them, you know, if there was some kind of a discussion going on and I said, well, let me ask you a question. You know, I mean, do you think you're right with God? And if they'd say, well, I make a bunch of mistakes, but I know that I believe in Jesus and I know that I'm going to go to heaven because I believe in Jesus, well, then I'm not going to worry about salvation. You with me? I may give them some scriptures, whatever, because I'm going to say the person's saved. Are y'all with me? I got a consensus of agreement in this building tonight. Because who am I to sit and argue? I can't look into their heart. I can't see into their heart. I'm the preacher. You're the preacher. In that instance, you're the preacher. You're to declare the word of God and the Holy Spirit does the work, right? Jesus said that it's only the Spirit of God that can draw a person to Him. So I can't do anything. And I've had people say, well, look, I'm not ready for anything. Okay, I don't want to have a relationship with God. It's okay. But if that belief is in their heart, well, then you don't have to go through a bunch of somatics. You don't have to go through, well, you've got to come do this. You've got to go do that. You've got to do this. No. Just get away from that. Introduce the person to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do the work. All right? So that brings me to point number two. I don't know what point it is. We're calling it point number two tonight. No telling how many points I've got in this thing because I'm rambling. So anyway, so you've got the first tool right there. Lead them to Jesus. All right? So the second tool that you need and is that you need to understand, you need to have an understanding of the Holy Spirit. Because nothing is going to come alive in your life or any other person's life until you come to an understanding of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say this, and don't get mad at me, all right? I'm not interested in how well you can pray in tongues. I'm not interested in if you can flow in the gifts. I'm not interested in you can give me a word of prophecy. That doesn't impress me at all. What impresses me is can you walk in love when you've been wronged? Can you walk in forgiveness when you've done wrong? Are you an edifier? Are you a builder up? Are you an encourager? Then all the rest of the gifts of the Holy Spirit then come into play. But if you turn people off left and right, well, what good does it do to be praying in tongues? And you know, I'm just saying this. It'll be on the record. I'm not ashamed to say this. I'd say it anywhere. But this is where we've gone wrong in our charismatic faith, and we've gone wrong in if you've been raised in Pentecostal churches, it's because we focused everything on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord spoke to me the other day, and I just never had thought of this in this light that I want to share this with you. That there's a difference between knowing the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me explain this to you. The moment that a person asks Jesus, the first tool, they've come and asked Jesus to come into the life, right? Well, that person then, what has gotten, what brought about salvation in their life? According to Romans 8, the Holy Spirit's what resurrected Jesus from the dead. It's the Holy Spirit that's done the work. They've been introduced to the Holy Spirit in a sense, right? When I got saved, I was in a barn desperate. I cried out for Jesus. Jesus, if you're really real, I want to know you. My life changed at that minute, and I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit there. I didn't know even that. I'm like Acts 19. I didn't know that there was a Holy Spirit. Other than the church I was raised in, I heard them always say, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's all I'd ever heard. Nobody ever taught me any teaching on the Holy Spirit. I didn't know. Which, when I started reading the King James, when I first got saved and started reading the King James Bible, and it says the Holy Ghost, and I was thinking, well, is it the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? Is that like brothers? You know, they're two different people, and just realized it was just the translation, you know? And so whether I say tonight Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit doesn't make any difference. But I never even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. I didn't know. But I had really been introduced to the Holy Spirit because it was the work of the Holy Spirit that came into my life in the barn that day that I cried out for Jesus and saved me, cleaned me up, turned my insides out, right? But I didn't know it was the Holy Ghost. Then later years go by and I find out that there's more, and I begin to read my Bible, and I kept telling my wife, man, there's more here. There's more to this. There's not, look at this. Why is he talking about this? And they keep talking about the Holy Ghost and does this. And I found this in the Word. And I was like, wait a minute. I missed this in Sunday school class. Nobody told me about this. And so I began to seek. Well, then the only people I knew was to find the wildest people I could possibly find that, you know, said that they knew something about the Holy Spirit and go there. And so then I went through. The only thing I ever had to unlearn in my Christian walk was to unlearn that sometimes people can just get excited, and sometimes people can just be hyper-spiritual, and sometimes people can just be doing things out of emotion, and it wasn't a real good introduction to the Holy Spirit, but it did bring me somewhere. Hey, you know, it got my boat out in the water farther, all right? But what I want to show you tonight is, I want to look at this because knowing the Holy Spirit and being introduced, just like you were introduced to Jesus, introduced to the Holy Spirit is what makes the Word come alive. Is what makes that little beginning to feel that something on the inside of you, you know, is telling you don't do that, or you need to do that, or you need to call so and so, or you need to pray with this person, or you need to pray about this, or that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. All right. Well, you can know the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What does baptism mean? It literally means immersion. It means to be covered completely over everything. You are immersed. Now, to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, you got to have a little knowledge of the Holy Spirit before you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the sense that you've got to be open to Him, all of God, by manifestation of the Holy Spirit working through you and flowing through you. Now, with that comes gifts, comes tongues, comes, you know, all these different things, which I'm not going to talk about tonight, all right? So, it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth without form or void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And what? The Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The Holy Spirit is the creative force that brings things about in your life. This morning when I woke up, I was going through, I was praying about some things and disturbed about some things and was just asking God for wisdom, asking Him for give me some direction and whatever. And I was reading this morning, and as I flipped open, I was reading one of my Psalms for the day, and I just started laughing. I said, God, how can you just make it to where today when I'm praying about this, and then there it is, and you just leaps off the Word and speaks to my heart. And I mean, wow, how could you just give me such reassurance like that this morning? I mean, it just blows my mind. It happens all the time, but I'm still amazed every time that God has an answer for me in the Word. And but it's the creative power of the Holy Spirit that's there in the kitchen with me in the morning drinking coffee with me that makes that Word come alive. Now, if I'm going to say, well, listen, I don't know, I love Jesus, but I don't know anything about this Holy Spirit, then what did I just lose out on? See, we need to teach people not to be afraid of the Holy Spirit, but that you need salvation, but you need the Holy Spirit to help you in life. And I want to give you a bunch of scriptures here tonight because they're just rolling through my head, and you have to go back. We'll look them up. In Acts chapter 1, when Luke is talking about it, he says, look, I'm telling you, and Jesus ascended and He went on high, and then He prayed the Father and He sent the Holy Spirit down, and the Holy Spirit's the agent on this earth. I paraphrase that, but that's what he said. If you don't know the agent of what God's moving through in these days, and you don't desire to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and to know the Holy Spirit and to walk with the Holy Spirit, and He's your buddy, He's your pal, He's right there with you every day, He's the one encouraging you, He's the one strengthening you, and you're not open and receptive for that, you're going to miss out on the biggest things of life. See, I want to be known as a Holy Ghost man, not necessarily a Pentecostal man. You with me? I want people to know. The moment, it's a game changer. Listen, Brother Ivan and I were talking about this week, and I was just laughing. It's so true. God, you know, don't just, anybody listen to this message tonight, just hear my heart. You can go be a Methodist. You can go be a Baptist. You can go be a Church of Christ. You can go be a Central Christian. You can go be any denomination, and nobody says anything about it. But the minute you go to a Spirit-filled church, the minute you go to a Holy Ghost church, it's a game changer. All of a sudden, the line is drawn in the sand, and you have become known as crazy. You have stepped over the line. You have just gone on, in most people's minds, to the dark side. Hello? Now, I'm so glad that happened to me. I'm so glad that I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that over these years of my life that I've had good sound teaching and people teaching me about the Holy Spirit. And yeah, I've probably done some crazy things myself. I've probably done some things out of emotion and hype myself. I've probably said some things that probably was as much Robert as it would have been the Spirit of God. But I'm telling you what, I've had fun, and I God knows my heart, but I am just so glad that I know the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, today, in this day, in this hour, people need to know the Holy Spirit. You can't take just the tool of salvation and give to somebody. You have to understand yourself and be able to explain and minister to people and introduce them to the Holy Spirit, just like you did Jesus. Scary? Listen, think about this. When you got saved, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, that moment, whatever your experience was, however it was, wherever it was, when you said, Jesus, I want to make you the Lord and Savior of my life, whatever you did you really have anything to do with it other than just your faith in operation and you saying something out of your mouth? Did you get saved yourself? Did you jump through the fiery hoop? Did you have a burning scroll come down in front of you and a quill pen of the dove of the Holy Spirit that you wrote on? Or we don't do nothing, do we? But you sure know you got saved, don't you? The assurance of my salvation is not some letter a church gave me. The assurance of my salvation is knowing what's happened on the inside of me. Right? Every one of you know this. The same with the Holy Spirit. How do I know that I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because I know. I don't have to have a letter. I don't have to have a deal. The Holy Spirit came on the inside of me. He filled me and asked me. And when I finally came to the place in life, hear me now, when I was willing to let God take totally over and I totally trusted in Him. Prior to that, my receptors were shut down. Prior to that, I was like, I don't know. Prior to that, I was looking at man and seeing the fruit from that and saying, ooh, I don't know. But today I can tell y'all, when I sit down in the morning and drink my coffee and read my Bible, it's me and the Holy Ghost sit in there. Because He's the agent on this earth. He's the creative force on that Jesus has gone to the Father, asked Him to come down to this earth and be everywhere at the same time for each one of us while we're drinking coffee in the morning and reading our Bible. Okay? Now, I want to say this because I want it on tape. And I'm not saying this maliciously. I'm not saying this, you know, to hurt feelings. But it's been funny to me in the last few months that how I've run across people who used to come to church here. And then, you know, I ran across them in whatever situation. And their perception is that as a church, we are not as Holy Ghost as we used to be. And I've explained to them, you know, it's not that I'm not as Holy Ghost as I used to be, because you can't get any more of the Holy Ghost than I am. It's just that I've just learned a new way to teach people about the Holy Spirit. something that seems a little more sounder, a little more wisdom. Just something that I want to help everybody walk along in. But am I any more Holy Ghost or any less Holy Ghost than I was? Man, I'm full today. You get full, you can't get any fuller. All you can do is spew out and flow over. Y'all with me? What we've got to do in this day, in this time, and right now, is we've got to have that tool of leading people to Jesus, but we've got to have the same wisdom with administering and asking people to and come to an understanding and get them to realize they need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And it doesn't have to be shouting. It doesn't have to be. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the process that came to happen at that moment, I actually thought I was going to hit the preacher. I was spitfire and mad because this guy grabbed me by the head and we went in a dancing around the room and shaking and a pushing and a shoving and I was fighting back. And I mean, it was the darndest thing you've ever seen in your life. And when I sat down after that experience, I wanted to hit the preacher. And I never forget a guy sitting there right beside me said, "Well, you got it." And I said, "I got what?" And he said, "You got baptized in the Holy Spirit." And I said, "Man, I don't know what happened." I said, "All I know is I want to hit that preacher if he comes over here again. I mean, that ain't right." And that was my baptism of the Holy Spirit experience. But it was the next morning sitting there eating breakfast. And I said, "You know, Lord, I don't know what happened last night, but all I know is I want all of you in my life. I'm willing right now to commit everything of my life to you, and I want you in my life in full force. I want you, whatever it takes, Lord, I want to be fully immersed in you, God. I'm trusting you with my life." And right there, that moment, right over a bowl of probably Captain Crunch. Those are the good old days. We got to eat Captain Crunch. You know, you ate whatever the kids were eating, right, you know? But right over a bowl of Captain Crunch right there in the morning, I mean, the Spirit of God came on me. I felt a tangible presence of warmth and love and mercy and grace in the room and on me. And as I began to just worship the Lord and just thank Him and just say, "God, I love you. I love you, Jesus. I worship you. I love you." I began to know something was flowing different inside of me. I knew it. I didn't speak in tongues instantly. It was weeks later, with another encounter with God, that I began to flow and pray in the Holy Spirit. But I knew the first morning over that bowl of Captain Crunch, I was as full of God as you could get of God. Folks, people need to understand, we're not looking to handle snakes. We're not looking to, you know, have burning bushes. We're looking to introduce people to the Holy Spirit. Because if you want a real simple explanation of the Trinity, God the Father right there sent Jesus' Son, who is God. It's just the form we call Him Jesus because He was there. Who then Jesus went to the throne and sent back the Holy Spirit, which is as much God as God the Father is God, as Jesus is God, on the face of this earth. And our invisible Father on this earth is here with man because of the blood that Jesus spilled. And that's the best definition you can ever get, explanation you can get of the Holy Trinity. And that's when you're sitting there in the morning, you might as well call it what it is. It's the Holy Spirit on this earth. He's the agent on this earth. It's not three separate gods. It's one God manifest in three persons. And the person God is manifest with you is the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to be scared of the Holy Spirit because it's God. If you say God, it's the Holy Spirit. If you say Jesus, it's God. It's the Holy Spirit. It don't change. Why have we gone and separated it all up and gotten so crazy and goofy and strange? Oh, I don't know. Don't talk about the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'll take Jesus. Because we got this mental image of Jesus hanging on the back of the wall of the church, stroking a little lamb in his little robe and his nice little hair all nipty-nooed out and everything's all real good. And he's stroking a lamb. He said, "Well, he doesn't look threatening." So we accept that image, but then you start talking about the Holy Spirit, and you're, "Oh my God, you're talking about tongues. Somebody might fall out, and they said they slain the Spirit. I think he's dead over there. Oh, good Lord." Because we weren't raised in that in church, and we see something. In the church I was raised in, if somebody would have fallen down, you're calling the EMS. Right? Because they died. They had a heart attack. They tripped. They fell. They broke their hip. Something. Call the EMS. But I've seen, listen, folks, listen to me. I have been around the world, and I have seen some of the weirdest, strangest things. I have seen human beings do things that it wasn't God at all, man. It was wacko. And I've just laughed and just gone on and just rolled with the punches and, you know, just didn't let it bother me. Because I love Jesus. Because I love the Holy Spirit. I want all of God in my life. I'm not going to reject something because some person doesn't display God correctly. Right? I'm not going to reject God just because some person doesn't know what they're doing. Or, you know, they just needed that. I've learned in life that there's some people who really like... bad. There's certain people in life who really need to just be oppressed because they seem to do better under pain and suffering. They seem to flourish. They thrive on it. Well, there's certain people who just need super hyper spiritual running and jumping and hooping and hollering and all that. They just really need that. But what I'm trying to tell y'all tonight is I'm not really concerned about your personality and how you want to flow. What I'm concerned about is getting the demonstration of the Holy Spirit across to the world in a form that they can understand. That's all I'm worried about. I'm just wanting people to be introduced to the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just wanting you to be able to say, well, look, do you want all of God in your life? You want everything He's got? Well, how would you like to be totally immersed in God? Think about that. Which to you sounds better? Do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or do you want to be immersed in God? Most people would say, man, I want all of God's got. Right? But you say, you want to be baptized? Well, is that where you might speak in like a demon or something? Are you with me? I mean, like I tell you, and you know, in 30 years of ministry, I've heard it all. I've seen it all. But if you tell a person, man, I want you to be immersed in God. I want you to meet. Look, man, you asked Jesus to come in your life. He saved you and everything. But, you know, Jesus went and sat on the throne of God. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God right now, ever living to make intercession for you. And so he said he's going to send the agent of the Holy Spirit down here on this earth. Do you want all God's got for you? Yeah. I do. What do I need to do? Well, really nothing. Just like you got saved, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come in your life. Oh, well, how do I do that? Well, just say it. Come on, Holy Spirit, fill me up, man. I want to be full to overflowing. Why does it have to be something big? Why does it have to be some hoopla? Why does it have to go, you know, whatever? Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. Look at verse 9. What does it say here? So this is one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, but let's look at this. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. And he did not say, ask, you know, if you were right, if you've done everything, you know, you're not a sinner, you didn't make any mistake. You know, it just says, ask, and it will be given to you. And then it's not, you got to remember, when the Bible was written, there was no chapters and verses. There's no pauses, is what I'm trying to say. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Asking, seeking, and knocking are all something that you're doing. See what I'm saying? If you're asking, and then you're seeking and you're knocking, well, then you're going to be receiving. We've turned baptism of the Holy Spirit into a Pentecostal experience of we're going to lay hands on you, and then you're going to feel something come over you, and then something's going to happen to you, and then your tongues are going to come all thick, and then all of a sudden you're going to be able to speak in tongues, and then you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But when it was originally, when God was trying to get everybody to understand about everything that he had for him, he said, ask, seek, knock, and you're going to find. All I'm saying to you is, nobody has to lay hands on you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, because in Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit fell on everybody at one time and nobody laid hands on nobody. It's the heart, the matter of the heart. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? But it's the lack of teaching going along with the power of the Holy Spirit to get people instructed enough to know what's going on. I say in so many things tonight that could get me in trouble, but I just really don't care. I just feel feisty tonight. Years ago, before the church even looked like this, and it was turned around the other way, we had a man come to church. And if you're hearing this and you know who you are, God bless you. I pray God's touched your life. But this man came to church, and he was a distraction. And I began to call him. Probably going to get in trouble on this one, aren't I? I got to. I called him Mr. Baba because I didn't know what his name was, but whenever he would start to pray in tongues, that would be all he would say is Baba, 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 Baba. And it just went faster and slower. And so I was getting a little irritated because I knew it wasn't God. I knew it wasn't the flow of the Holy Spirit. I just know that he was super excited, felt like God was on him. He thought he had his prayer language, and that's what he had was Baba. And I was just like, come on, man. You know, that's okay when you're, for a baby, that's when he gets his first language, Baba, but he progresses on and can speak a full language. And so you got to quit. Baba is not it. And so I was doing okay until one day Mr. Baba decided to challenge me up at the front of the church. And at that moment, I knew we've gone too far. I've got to do something. And so I tried to help him. And I simply said, look, sir, you know, I'm sorry, but what you're walking and what you're flowing and what you think you got, you ain't got. Because that isn't really the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying it's demonic. I'm just telling you, you got maybe the tiniest little flipping, you know what I mean? You got just a little Holy Ghost spit on you. You ain't got the real thing. You ain't got the whole thing. You don't have the whole package. And it offended him. And he got mad, and then I spent months of dirty letters coming to him, you know, and telling me how crazy I was and whatever like that from this guy. But he didn't have it all. And he was a bad representation of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, we've all had encounters like that. We've all run across people like that. We've all seen things like that. And what I'm telling you is, as a church, I want you to be so skilled. I want you to be, with your tools and your belt, so skilled that you can help people and lead people and let them find out how great and glorious and amazing the Holy Ghost is, so that nobody has to be scared. Nobody has to think, oh, my God, something's going to come on me and it's going to take over me and I'm going to be possessed. You know, it's going to be like the exorcist in a good form. No. That isn't God. It never has been God. Are y'all with me? We need to be able to cast off the shroud of crazy church and show people the power of God. Listen, when somebody hurts you and you can forgive and walk in love, that is the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. The moment something happens to me or you know, situation comes up or whatever, and I can sense that the old man, Robert, is wanting to resurrect. I'm starting to crawl out of the dirt, you know, like I've got one hand up through the grave and I'm starting to come back alive. I mean, immediately my prayer is, okay, Holy Ghost, you got to kill the old man, you know, get him down there, throw some more dirt over him, do whatever, man, because he's coming alive. I can feel him. He's down there. He's starting to come up. He's going to be a zombie Robert walking around. and we don't like him. Put him in the dirt and help me, Holy Ghost. Okay, come on. Show me what to do. Give me a scripture. Give me something. Whatever. Somebody gave, it was Maggie Gunn gave me a CD of a minister who basically took my Praying the Word book, but put it on a CD, and it was, it's just, he's just praying word and talking word and everything else. And I've just been listening to this thing. I've just been really blessed, because all I'm doing is driving down the road. I'm listening to him praying the word, you know, and doing this. And I find that I literally have wisdom when I get out of the truck and I'm talking to people, that it shocks me what came out of my mouth. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm like, huh, wow. When we went on vacation, now granted, I do look a little strange. I'll admit that. But when we went on vacation, I would find people staring at me all the time. And I told Laura, I said, man, what is it? I mean, man, I need to go in there and shave, or Lord, do they think I'm a bomber or the terrorist, or I'm going to shoot everybody in here, or what, you know? As long as nobody moves too quick, we're not going to have any shooting, you know? But people would be staring at me, and after a while, I started praying about it, and I realized, man, all I'm doing is sitting in a room reading my Bible all day long, praying, talking to Jesus, just having fellowship with the Holy Spirit right there in the room. And when I walk around other people who aren't, you can see it. People can see it on you. People can see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and His power in you. And the more you learn to flow, and the more you learn to operate, and the more you understand who the Holy Spirit is, and it's not something to be scared of, it's something you want to jump in the middle of. And you learn and understand the ways of God and what He's doing, then all of a sudden, man, it's not you having to do anything, it's the Holy Spirit through you doing everything. Nick, today a person stopped me in town and said something about how he just really was appreciated you and how he get to see how God's working in your life. People are watching. He didn't say you'd said anything to him or ministered to him, anything like that. He didn't say anything about that. He just saying he could see. And I thought, well, man, praise God. He tell Nick. Because on what you're doing is working. He said, well, what'd I do? I don't know, but the Holy Ghost got something done. You know, praise God. You see, church, that's the kind of power we've got to have in this last day. Because the Bible says the closer we get to the end of the world, the more deception there's going to be. And right now, people are completely ignorant and stupid. I'm shocked at what's going on in the world. People are brain dead. They're worse than zombies. I mean, we've already had the zombie apocalypse happen. It got everybody. Everybody in Washington, for sure. But it's going to creep this way. Okay? And we have to be the church that's prepared not to operate in how smart we are, not to operate in how much wisdom we have, not to operate in how good we are and how much we know the Word and all this. We have to be the church that understands that the next step is you got to understand the power of the Holy Spirit, and we got to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to be the church that has a tongue that's sharp, but it's not the sharp that we used to have. It's the sharp of the Holy Spirit to be able to say the word that goes. Years ago, we were on a youth trip, and we were at a camp, and there was a young man, and if he's hearing this, he knows who he is, and it's okay. And this young man was irritating everybody on the whole trip. I mean, everybody just wanted to just put him out on the side of the road. And I finally got fed up with it. And I went over there and I prayed first. I said, oh God, just give me the right words to say, you know, to help this young man. But I was angry. And so I went over there and I got him, and I grabbed him by the shirt and drug him off and pushed him up against the wall. And I started out wrong. And I said, what is wrong with you? And then in a minute, the Holy Spirit kicked in. And I started, it wasn't like a great revelation from heaven. It wasn't a burning bush. It wasn't a sounding bell. It wasn't anything, a trumpet blasting. All of a sudden, I just began to speak to this kid. And I said, listen, I know that this is happening. And da, 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 da. I started saying things in my mouth. And I was like, what am I talking about? And I just kept going with it. And in a minute, the kid began to cry. And he said, I know. Oh, God, I just want to pray for me right now. I prayed for the young man. and you know, there wasn't some great manifestation. He didn't fall out in the on the ground and flop like a fish out of water and jump up and, you know, see visions of angels and whatever. But then after this trip, you know, the family moved off and I didn't see him. I didn't see this young man for like 10 years. 10 years goes by. One day I see him. I'm like, holy cow, gee, you know. He's like, comes over there and says, I just want to tell you something. You know that day on that trip? And I was like, yeah, man. And I'm wanting to apologize as soon as he brings it up. I'm sorry. I hope it didn't hurt your walking life. Oh, God. No. Don't tell me that I, you know, you were stunted for years because of my... And he's like, man, I just want you to know that day you spoke so much in the power of God. And you spoke to me and it changed my life forever. And because of that day and what you said there, I don't really know what I said. That my whole course has changed. I did this. And he just become a great young man and was blessed in everything that he did in his business. All because I didn't speak in anger, but I spoke in the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Oh, I didn't say, yay, hey, thus saith the Lord, blah, blah, blah. I just talked. You see, church, that's available every day for you to speak to people like that. Why do we want to be immersed in God? Because we're supposed to be His vessels out there in this world. We're supposed to be His hands. We're supposed to be His feet. We're supposed to be His mouthpiece in this world. Why do we want to every day cry out and say, Lord, just fill me full of Your Holy Spirit. Just fill me full to overflowing. Holy Ghost, take over. Come inside of me and fill me. Why do we want to pray that prayer? So that when we walk out of the house, you're carrying the Spirit of God everywhere you go. And you got so much on you, it's sloshing and spilling out all over everybody else. You see, and then the degree of level that you're walking in is going to be the degree of level you're going to see manifestations. I can tell you, I can bring books up here from the 1900s and tell you of ministers who used to walk down a line and people had visible tumors on their hands, and he would walk by and just touch their hand and would hardly even pray for them. And they used to, this is the truth, they had a person who was not an usher. His job was he was a tumor scooper. Because after the service was over with and so many people and they left the aisle, there were so many tumors laying on the floor that he had a dustpan and a broom and he had to come sweep all the tumors up from all that guy just walking by and touching them. Well, it was a gift of miracles in the man's life, but where'd the gift come from? The Holy Spirit. But it was because there was so much Holy Spirit flowing right there in the service. That's what happened. Wouldn't it just be real cool? You're just visiting your friend that just got a report that they've got cancer, and then you're just sitting there saying, ah, come on, well, let's just pray about this. You touch them and boom, they get healed. And you can't even take any credit for it. Because you were really thinking, oh my God, I hope they don't die. How could that happen? It happened because of the tool in your belt called the Holy Spirit that you know and you fellowship with every morning and you're not scared of. So the next time a person comes to you and they say they're going to the doctor, they got a report like this, get them, pray for them, because I'm going to tell you something. It's not like it has to be some mystical, whiffy wind of smoke come flying into the room you're playing. No, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. He's here on earth. He's real as the air we're breathing right now. And all He's looking for is vessels to use, vessels to flow through, vessels to minister to. All these times on these Wednesday nights when we break up in groups, you're doing that. You know, I may tell you to go do this or do that, but you could, you know, and this is where we get wrong. I started to use this term. Say, you know, you could be impressed to say something to somebody, but the real truth of the matter is, we don't have to be impressed about anything. If we'll just let the Holy Spirit speak through us, He'll just say what needs to be said. It doesn't have to be, God, I got a word. It's coming. It doesn't have to be theatrical. If you're a theatrical person and you like theatrics and then that's how you flow, glory to God. More power to you. But don't tell me that everything has to be done that way. You see what I'm saying? I'm just a good old country boy. Nothing would please me more than me just to be preaching along like this, and then all of a sudden you just get touched with the Spirit of God right there in your chair and get healed or get touched or get the word that you need or get whatever, and then we just all go home. I mean, I think Acts 10 is the coolest scripture in there because Peter's just preaching along. He's trying to tell everybody about Jesus. Those people got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Peter didn't do nothing. Now, just think about that. He's the Apostle Peter, the one that they were going to give the keys to the churches. And those sorry people jumped ahead, got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit before he had time to give a good altar call. And then he didn't know what to do, so he says, well, I don't know what to do. Let's just go baptize the whole bunch. Because he really didn't know what to do, because God jumped order. He did give an altar call, get them saved, and then baptize in the Holy Spirit. They all got it all at one time. Messed his preaching up. And I just love to have things like that happen. I just love to have preaching messed up. Because who am I to say how the order of God should be? Who are you to sit down and say, well, okay, well, my friend, I got to do this and I got to do this. Why don't you just ask the Holy Spirit to make it happen? Why are you sitting there deducting, okay, now if she says this, then I'm going to say this. And then if they say this, then I'll say this. And then if they said that, then I'll say this. And then we'll get down to there. And then I got that scripture. And then I'll put that in there. And then I'll say that. And then we'll quote that. And then we'll do this. And then we'll get to that. And then they'll get saved. Well, who are we to have this all sorted and figured out? Now, I'll be honest with you. If I ever have envied anybody's ministry, it's Billy Graham. It's simply because the man stood up there, and I don't mean this ugly, but he preached a message that was not that powerful of a message. I mean, T.D. Jakes would throw down and preach a message. Now, you want to hear somebody preach a message that's in-depth, you know, Perry Stone. I mean, these guys, I'm still thinking about what their point was over here, and they're already down there on the other point. They blew over the top of my head. And he'd preach the simplest message. And you know, he always out in the stadium and his old hair'd blow, and he'd be preaching, and then he'd say, now as of the choir sings, just as I am, come from that. And then thousands of people just come out and come down and get saved. I was just like, man, if that was not the anointed timing of God to move, because it was not his eloquent speech that brought them to the front. It was nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit. And God at that time, and the man following in obedience to what God told him to do, and he saw great success. If God tells you to go speak to somebody or to go visit somebody, let me tell you something. That's your destiny, your appointed time is already there. Just show up. It's all you have to do. You don't have to have the great theological message. Just show up, because if God sent you there, it's the time and it's all going to work out. And if it doesn't work out like you think, oh, well. God knows better than you do. Why are you worried about it? Why are you worried about it? See, with the power of the Holy Spirit, as your tool in there, you introduce them to Jesus, you introduce them to the Holy Spirit. The third one, you know, which we'll get into because I'm just kind of really fun, you introduce them to reading the Word, and what else is there? Now, I know, folks, everybody's life doesn't just get popped up and straight, and we got to have freedom prayer, and we need to be there and love people and all that. I'm really simplifying this, but I'm trying to just show what else is there. If you've been introduced to Jesus, you've been introduced to the power of the Holy Spirit, and you've been introduced to the Word, then what really else could deliver you? And then what do we good saints do? Well, we got to keep built up. We got to keep going. Get a few rocks thrown at you. Get some dinks in your armor. You get them knocked out. You come here to worship. Worship God. Get the dinks out of your armor and, you know, let him speak to you. Then we go on, and then what do? We go back out there. And what are we looking for? People that need to meet Jesus and people that need to meet the Holy Spirit. So think about it, what I said. You got to separate the Holy Spirit from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You introduce people to the Holy Spirit. Show them how he's the creator. He's the power of God. He's right here. Then the next step is you get baptized. Or you get immersed in God. That's really all there is. That's really all there is. Quit looking for an experience. Quit looking for a sign and a wonder. How many times in the Bible did Jesus rebuke people for looking for signs? Bunch. But you know, we're that kind of people. We're that kind of people. We tend to be sight-oriented people. You know, I'm gonna close with this. My wife will be mad at me later, but I'll settle it at the house. You know, what we do is we tend to be silent. We need hype. And I'm telling you, we in the middle of the desert and your canteen's low on water, you just need to drink water. You don't need a bunch of hype. And when people are out there in the desert and they're dry and they're thirsty, what they need is a cool taste of the Spirit of God. And we don't need a bunch of hype. But people tend to always want to look at hype. The new praise and worship song that we sang tonight, my wife wrote it. She's not going to tell you this because she's just not that kind of person. But she'll write a song and come sing it and never tell anybody she wrote it. Where you give another person the same chance, oh, they're going to blow it up. You know, I was there and I saw a white horse and it was coming and he sat his words in his hand and he rode to me and it was the breath of God and it came. But the real point is people need to be blessed by it. The real point is that we need to hear from God, minister to people. And if you keep that focus in life, you're always going to make it. If you keep that focus, you're always going to be blessed and you're going to help people and it's going to be a blessing and you're going to be fulfilled, because you're never going to be fulfilled in life until you start helping people. Because if you're still sitting around praying and trying to get everything perfect for you and then you're going to go do something, then you're never going to get anything done, because you're never going to get perfect. Just by the time you think you got everything in order, here's something else going to break. But as long as along the road every day we're getting up and we're saying, okay, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do today? And I want to tell you something. I've actually been impressed. You know, like I'm going somewhere and I'll get hungry for something that I'm like, why am I hungry for potato chips? I don't want to eat potato chips. Potato chips are not good for you. I'm not supposed to be eating potato chips. But I just feel, I'm not impressed. I'm hungry for potato chips. And stop and go to a convenience store just to get some potato chips, feeling bad because I'm going to cheat and going to eat some potato chips, and walk in there and run right into somebody that I know that was right there and needed prayer. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I just thought I was hungry for potato chips. And you know what? I bought potato chips and ate them. Because I figured if I'd been impressed about that, I might as well carry out the whole mission. Right. I mean, there's God. So those didn't count. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to quit. I've got in plenty of trouble tonight. But before I quit, before we even take up the offer or anything, I want to just pray for you. Okay? So, I just believe that what I'm saying tonight is you know, it's stirring you, but it's not me, it's God. And so let me pray for you. Everybody just bow your heads and let me just pray for you here for a minute. Father, right now in Jesus' name, you hear us, you see every one of our hearts in here. You know right where each and every one of us are at. You know where we are in life. We know what we've been taught. We know what's going on with us. And Lord, right now, every person in here who wants to be just totally immersed in God, Their heart cries out for everything that you've got, Lord. I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that you fall upon every person. That right now, Lord God, you begin to fill us full, to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. That our vessels, who we are on the inside, Lord, you just right now just fill us. We want to know your power. We want to know your love. We want to know your grace. We want to know your mercy. Lord, we want to know your loving kindness. We want to know what it's like to have the finger of God right on the tablets of our heart. So right now, Lord, just fill us. Lord, fill us full to overflowing. Immerse us. Just immerse us. Immerse us, Lord, in you. Now, Lord, all we want to do is walk as your servants. Lord, we just want to help people to be empowered by your Holy Spirit and help people, because that's what it's all about. So, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and a heart that beats after your people. A heart that just beats for those souls that are hurting. Everybody just say with me, say, Lord, I want to be full of God. Come on, just say it to me again and say, Lord, I want everything you got. Now, I encourage you to go home. I encourage you to take some time tonight before you go to bed or while you're in the bed. And just cry out to God. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to just give you more. Folks, I was never just filled once. I'm always being filled. I'm always being filled. There's no one time you got full of the Holy Ghost and that's it. I want everything He's got. I need more and more fresh water all the time. I don't want no stagnant mosquito-growing pond in me, right? And I just encourage you, just let the Spirit of God, because there's a special anointing here tonight, and just let the Spirit of God minister to you. Let Him talk to you. Let Him explain some things. You got some questions, ask Him. You've had a bad experience, you know, with Pentecostal people, well, then ask Him. Call Lex, get some freedom prayer. Well, you know, get over that. Right? I've had some bad experiences, folks. I got over it. I love Jesus too much to let crazy people lead me, you know, where I shouldn't be. Amen? Amen. I could sit here all night long and just tell you story after story, but, you know, I don't think that would do us any good. But I've seen some wild things that was absolutely not God. But praise God, not around here. So anyway, the next thing you'd need to do is tomorrow you need to look out, because somebody's going to run across your path. And you've got a tool belt with two really good tools in it. Like I said, I can build a house with just three tools, so. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, wow, that was really good. Praise God. If you need an offering envelope, lift up your hands. Bill will get you one. Whew. Okay, so